Welcome to the Marketing AI Sparkcast, where AI meets modern marketing. Hosted by Abhi Varma, a global leader in marketing, AI, and innovation, each episode brings you real conversations with leaders putting AI to work in strategy and execution. This episode is brought to you by Spark Novus and the Marketing AI Pulse community. Here's your host, Abhi Varma.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to our next episode of the Marketing AI Sparkcast. Very excited to welcome Palmer Houchens from G2. He's the VP of marketing, and we are going to get a unique insight into Palmer's world. We're going to look at it both from a marketing leadership standpoint. He is the VP of marketing, leading a fabulous marketing team at G2. But we are also going to get Palmer's perspective on the world of MarTech. I think G2 has this unique vantage point, and we are going to dig into all of that. Palmer, thank you very much for joining us.
Abhi, thanks so much for having me.
No, we love it. And Palmer was a speaker at our Marketing AI Pulse event last year, which was phenomenal. He brought some amazing insights. But Palmer, before we unpack any of those things, would love to know a little bit of background about you and a little bit about your career journey and what led you to the VP of marketing role at G2.
Well, I've spent the really now the past 15 years of my career kind of in the SaaS world. I started out early in my career kind of in digital marketing, working at agencies and kind of in the music and entertainment space. And through happenstance, ended up at a company called MailChimp pretty early on. I was, you know, the third marketer they hired there, and I got to have a fun ride kind of as that company grew from 100 people when I joined to 1500 when I left 8 years later, and learned a whole lot about marketing along the way. So got to very much wear a bunch of different hats from marketing generalist to a kind of a specialist and all points in between. After 8 years there, I jumped to another SaaS company here in Atlanta, CallRail, a great sort of call analytics lead management solution here. Spent 2 years almost there kind of leading their marketing efforts, and then was presented with the opportunity to join G2 almost 5 years ago. And I had been a two-time G2 customer and so really loved the platform. As I got to know the people there and the opportunity, just got really excited about what I found and taking a big seat at the table here at G2.
Awesome. Thank you for that. And I know the folks at MailChimp really well. In full transparency, Spark Novus is a MailChimp partner. Right. They're doing some really cool stuff to, you know, reinvent email. A lot of people have declared the demise of email. I don't believe that, but that is for a whole other episode with the folks at MailChimp. But today we're talking about you and G2. So let's just start off, Palmer, with just giving our listeners a little sort of flavor on, you know, you are right at the center of the AI revolution, especially as it pertains to technology. And you've been at G2 for 5 years, like you said. How did you guys and how are you guys approaching AI within the marketing function, right? You know, AI adoption or use cases, would love to understand that. And also talk a little bit about your learning so that, you know, our listeners could take away some of that.
G2 is a very AI positive culture. I think after the ChatGPT kind of rollout, three plus years ago, I guess at this point, we quickly built a kind of a G2 software buyer bot on our site. So that it was using ChatGPT, helping software buyers navigate using AI. So it's really been a part of our DNA, even though we did sit at the kind of the center of the software world. We could kind of see which way the wind was blowing, and we knew that we had to adopt AI both from a product perspective as well as from a marketing perspective. So I say all that to just sort of tee up our marketing learnings. Our team was quick to adopt. We built out some ChatGPT use cases early on and really encouraged the team to experiment and do as much as they could with AI where it applied to their roles. And I would say, you know, probably a year into that journey, what we really started hearing is, you know, I feel very capable whether it be ChatGPT, Perplexity, whatever the early ones were there. I'm they're part of my day-to-day now. They're a great productivity tool that I have. They're a great co-pilot for what I'm doing, but I want to go deeper. Like, I want to understand how AI could apply to my role as a customer marketer, as a demand gen specialist. And so what we really did is kind of bring in some outside experts to help teach us. It wasn't like, hey, let's go buy a bunch of AI for software. It's like, let's first understand our use cases. And so we pulled a team. It's actually a group of folks who were kind of early on working on Gemini at Google. And they came in and we did a bunch of sessions with them where they understood, like met individually with teams within marketing and tried to understand, like, how are you using AI today? What does your role look like? How could we build out more use cases that would help you? And so that was a really, we spent a lot of, starting about a year and a half ago, really spent 6 months kind of diving deep into that. And I think what we heard on the other side of it was the team coming out with like way more practical use cases of, I built this custom GPT, or I built this gem that's going to help me do X, Y, or Z. And so just really felt like it empowered the team to go deeper at their function with how they could use AI. And you know, that's even, you know, stopping before what are all of the other AI first use cases that could be out there. But I think it was a good transition point between, hey, it's cool, I love being able to ask ChatGPT for a great recipe or something like that, but how can I actually apply it in my day-to-day sort of use case here at G2?
That's amazing. Could you talk a little bit about your team size? And sounds like you have both Gemini and ChatGPT. And was that like an enterprise level thing?
The G2 marketing team is about 40 folks currently, and we're spread across a pretty traditional sort of brand team. You have a product marketing team, we have a demand gen team, and really it's all about understanding, just like the use case for a product marketer is very different from a very, you know, sort of automation driven one with a demand gen or marketing ops person.
Nice. So essentially sounds like the learning is AI works best for you guys when it is fitted to the form factor of the function that it is being sort of incorporated into.
Absolutely. And I think that that's, you know, what we've seen some folks, maybe some folks on our content team preferred using Claude. They like the output that they got there. Others would say, hey, like Gemini has been really great for what I need to do here. And others have stuck with ChatGPT, at least just as that at that sort of high level LLM use case. And that's not even scratching the surface of everything below that for a vibe coding solution or an agentic solution or whatever you want to build in between.
Nice. So one of the things, I mean, we work with CMOs and marketing leaders pretty routinely as part of the work that SparkNovus does. But one of the things that those leaders always seem to struggle with is prioritization, right? And the bigger the team, the more complex it gets, right? Where you suddenly have everybody wanting to try out different things and different use cases and that sort of stuff. How did you guys go about, you know, the function of prioritization of AI initiatives, and which of those initiatives were worth scaling and which to keep in pilot mode? Or maybe love to understand a little bit of your methodology. Was it tied to sort of your strategic initiatives or things that matter to the company? Or was it more grassroots pain points? Like, I know there's no right answer to this, but just curious about your methodology.
I think our methodology there was a little bit more bottoms up in the sense of, hey, everyone might have a slightly different use case here depending on their function. And so we wanted to empower folks to feel comfortable, to feel capable, to feel trained, and like they kind of had their feet underneath them with any of those use cases related to their role or responsibilities. But when you have that bottoms up approach, it's like, okay, great. Well, we've got this big demand gen campaign initiative, and we're going to take what we learned here and what we think we can do from a workflow perspective over here and apply them to that, versus everybody saying, well, I'm going to do my thing. You know, what you want to avoid is that chaos of everybody putting their little touch on it and really having it still feel like a program sort of managed, like prioritized campaign function.
Now, for a lot of teams, when they're embarking on adoption of new technologies or, you know, AI transformations or whatever, there is an element where they've got to pause and slow down to learn, right? And that often becomes the bottleneck and sort of the wall of resistance to do that, because they're like, oh my gosh, I have so many projects going on, and now I, on top of that, I got to deal with this AI stuff. And so what did you see within the team, or what was your message on how to deal with that?
It's interesting. The rate of change with AI has been so fast, so quick, that it's honestly something that I mean, to me, keeping up with that has felt more like something like going to the gym or one of those things, like you've got to carve out the time of like, I need to spend these 2 hours and just learn on it. Cause it's not one of those things where I think you're going to learn by osmosis or an incremental change of, hey, my software just updated to this new version and I'll get used to it over time in my day to day. It's almost like you've got to carve out that time to go run laps or to go, get on the treadmill at the gym, however you want to think about it. And so that's sort of the framework that I've had individually around it. And we have a great chief innovation officer here at G2, Tim Sanders, and he's been a real evangelist for that from the get-go for our side of like, this is something you're going to have to carve out that time to practice, to sort of understand, to really wrap your head around. But also that investment is worth it because it's going to pay off down the line. Like, this is going to fundamentally be part of your role, whether you're a marketer, whether you're a salesperson, whether you're a developer, it's going to just be part and parcel of what you do. And I think even in the, where we've come from the past 3 or 4 years, that's proving to be true.
Cool. There's lots of talks about, marketing agents with AI, and you mentioned agentic AI. What is your perspective on that, and where do you see potential for improving the lives of your marketing team? And on the other side, what about guardrails or any words of caution?
Absolutely. I mean, both from where I sit as a marketer and where I sort of sit at G2, we're just seeing the agentic landscape continue to just grow exponentially. We've built out a bunch of AI agent builder categories, and they just continue to grow kind of day over day. So definitely from my lens, seeing that being a bit of like the next frontier in terms of like marketing adoption there. And that's how we've sort of thought about it from a marketing perspective this year. We've run several agent experiences ourselves, some that we've built on our own, others that we've just used solutions that are out there in the marketplace, whether it be an SDR type function or an AE function, and really leaned in there. But I think that's sort of the next unlock. I mean, I think when we talk about that first phase of AI adoption, it was largely the LLMs and sort of how can I use these as productivity enhancers and sort of co-pilots to help me workshop this idea or structure how I'm thinking about things. But then as we unlock the agent side of things, that's where we get more into sort of chained workflows with automations and the opportunity for us to really start seeing that work that happens while you're sleeping, I guess, that maybe we've always, dreamed of from the Jetsons days.
Oh, yeah.
That's starting to come to life. But to your point around guardrails, like those agents are only as good as the data that they're trained on. And they are so eager to work that if you don't have the proper guardrails in place, they start to overstep and they start to maybe get a little overzealous in there. So I think that's what you have to watch out for. I think it's ultimately a balance between how can you get as productive as possible while still delivering the right user experience, whether you're a marketer, a customer service, like that's the sort of the balance that you want to strike there.
Yep. I think that's such a valuable insight, that balance. And But one thing, when you talk about agents, you know, we've all heard this. I'm sure you've heard this too, about, you know, agents and humans coexisting in marketing organizational charts, org charts, right? Like that, oh yeah, you know, we have, you know, 50 real people and 30 agents, or, you know, in the case of NVIDIA, thousands of agents or whatever, you know, that narrative has been growing. With the advent of AI, has that impacted your approach to hiring talent?
Whether you're on the marketing side, wherever you sit from a leadership perspective, we have had this dealt with this reality of let's use AI, let's use agents as a way to increase productivity. I don't think that that means we don't need X, Y, or Z. It's more about thinking about could we do more with less than we've done in the past, or would we? What may have required 20 hires in the past? Do you think we could do that with 5 this time? And I just think that you're seeing that across the board from a productivity lens. At the very highest levels of finance around SaaS, that just seems to be the truth. I think there used to be a point of pride in saying, well, I've got a team that's this big and I've got this X many people. And what I'm seeing now is more, hey, well, we did this with 15 people in our marketing team. And that's a real challenge. And again, that's not me trying to be, oh, you'll never need a marketing team, you shouldn't grow marketing teams, all of that. But I think we're just maybe reframing how we're thinking about org design in kind of this new era of AI tools. And I don't think that agents are quite yet to the like set it and truly forget it mode, that it's more of a companion, a new teammate that I've got, you know, on board, and I'm going to have to check in. There's a bit of a kind of managed service component to this, but it, you know, net, it's helping us be more productive.
Very cool. So a little about the future. So when you were, there's going to be 2-part questions. The first thing, when we spoke about agents and automation and, you know, different sort of AI specific use cases within the org, when you think of 2026, what are some of the priorities when it comes to AI within the marketing team that you were thinking of? And then if you had a crystal ball and you were to look, you know, 10 years forward, you know, what is your prediction on how you think marketing itself would work?
We're moving from this era of like, well, going back to like, what's your budget, or what is your, like how big is your team to, or how many seats do you need to buy if you're a SaaS solution, to being sort of very outcome driven in terms of like, even some, you know, companies like Zendesk have moved to outcome driven pricing of like, hey, you know, we're going to resolve this many cases and you'll pay based off that, or we're going to drive this many conversions. Like I think marketing could start moving to a model like that. Agents play a big role in how that comes to life. But I think that sort of outcome driven approach is a big change. I think the second one is, maybe a little bit selfish of me, but I really do believe it's true that there's trust is just going to become even more important. Like as things get more automated, as you start, interacting with agents more often, even agent to agent sort of like, dealings, trust has got to be at the center of that. There needs to be a trust layer. And I'm not saying that G2 is the only part of that, but like, that's where we see our future of like, we're sitting on 3+ million reviews. They're all authentic, verified. We know they're from customers of these companies. And we think that has real value as a structured data set to inform a lot of what's happening there. So I think we've all seen it with the sort of the AI slop that's out there of just like, oh, you can tell this long article doesn't really make any sense and it was written by AI. That'll get better over time, but it still needs to be delivered in a way that feels authentic, that feels trusted, that is something that you can build on. So those are kind of the two areas that I'm already seeing that shift.
Let's switch gears and really talk about, you know, from a G2 standpoint, right? Where I think, obviously, firstly, I think congratulations, there's been some market movement with you guys with the acquisition of Capterra, a little piece of Gartner. So maybe you could start with just explaining that to our listeners and what that is and why you guys did it. And then maybe we can, on the other side of it, have some follow-up questions to that.
Yeah. Fresh off the press here, we have formally agreed to acquire Capterra Software Advice and GetApp from Gartner. They were sort of referred to as Gartner Digital Markets before. And it really gives us probably the top four software review sites out there across the globe. So we're very excited about the opportunity there. But really for us, what we see happening is just a way to continue building on that trust layer. G2 had 3 million reviews with those sites altogether. We've now got 6 million plus reviews. We've got 200 million software buyers across the globe and a customer network of over 10,000 vendors. So part of it is just a scale play there, but part of it too is just a way that we can be a centralized home for a lot of these vendors and buyers to make sure that we become that kind of authentic, trusted, sort of verified source in the age of AI. And so that's kind of how we're thinking about it. And today it's still business as usual. Like we're operating all four of those sites and will. And where we go from here, I don't know, but we're really excited about the opportunity and you know, bringing on a few new models. Some of those are more PPC driven or are paper lead driven, and obviously building upon that really authentic customer voice that drives it all.
Very cool. We will be watching that space very closely, but congratulations again. And I mean, that is a wealth of data, even G2 standalone. But from your vantage point, what feels materially different about how AI is shaping the marketing technology landscape or SaaS landscape in general, even compared to a year or 2 years or 3 years ago, right? Like the AI sort of genie popped out of the bottle with when ChatGPT came into this world. So surely with that kind of volume of data insights, I'm sure you guys are seeing things a little bit differently, but wondering if you could address that a little bit.
Agentification of marketing. We've talked about that. We've just moved from this, hey, models can help us get better, to actually we need to be deploying agents to go do all that. That's come to life in the past, 12 to 18 months. And I don't want to, we've talked a bunch about that, but it's certainly real. The second one we haven't talked as much about, and I think it's important, search and discovery matters more than ever, even if SEO and organic search has been forever changed. And just AEO has been such a focus for us and others for the past really year and a half. And I think it's just it's massively upended the software buying kind of journey. And it amplifies these kind of third party signals, whether it's reviews or other user generated content. I think buyers are discovering solutions through in new ways. It's, citations, it's mentions, it's answers. It's even, outside of our world, it's things like Reddit that are playing an outsized role in these journeys than they were before. So it's gone from that, hey, you need to show up on paid search or organic and everything else will happen from there. So that's a big part of it. And then I think the other piece is just, what you're seeing in from a MarTech landscape is certainly actually monetization happening with AI, of like people are paying for AI, these legacy SaaS solutions now have AI products that they're selling and actually, generating, new revenue streams, incremental revenue streams for. I mean, you just look no further than the Salesforces and the HubSpots of the world for how that's already started kind of rolling out. And I think we'll just see more and more of that, of kind of not necessarily AI first, but really thoughtful applications of AI across kind of legacy software.
100%. One key part with the whole AI revolution is there's a lot of sort of quote unquote AI washing happening out there, right? Like where I feel that MarTech vendors at this point struggle with you know, cutting through the noise and almost feel that there's, if they don't reference AI, it's almost conspicuous by its absence. And, you know, we are, you know, we've seen that where sometimes the marketing outpaces that capability. And when you kind of start playing with the tech and everything, it's like a nothing sandwich at that point. But from a G2 standpoint, what signals are you guys seeing that actually distinguish real capability from just surface level AI washing or positioning off these MarTech technology vendors?
Yeah, we, I mean, you're exactly right. If it doesn't say AI powered on it, then it's not a true software solution these days. But we've recognized that, and we've actually changed our start over the past 2 years. Haven't necessarily changed, but have added some new questions to the review forms that we are using to generate those reviews. And we're looking for sort of a couple different things in there of like, kind of proven data and sort of ROI in there. So how is this solution helping you deliver ROI faster, quicker? How is it helping you be more productive? Those are big parts of what that sort of AI promise is trying to solve. And then it was also like really digging in on sort of what, for lack of a better term, like operational integration. Like, are you, you know, do you, when you're using the solution, is AI featured as a part of it? Or is it just some add-on that's like, you know, 0.5% of all customers are actually seeing and using? So we want to bring that to life. And we're sort of putting those questions in front of our reviewers so that we can get a better sense. And how we think about it is there are the sort of what I would call AI first solutions out there, and those sit in sort of a different bucket. But then when you look at these legacy you know, software SaaS solutions, really digging into those to say like, what are the best AI enabled products within there? Because not all AI is created equal in how it's applied there. So we're excited to kind of do more research around that and start publishing some results around what we see there. But it's been a fundamental part of our review process for certainly the past kind of 18 to 24 months.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I mean, I can tell you firsthand for our own use, and we do this work for clients where we're trying to identify, you know, AI-based solutions in order to, you know, achieve faster, better, cheaper, more efficient outcomes. And, you know, obviously, there is no, you mentioned trust earlier, and this to me is super important, where currently there's no authoritative source for making sure that if that piece of MarTech, how much AI does it have? Is it just sort of lip service and 0.5%, like you said? And B is, what do they do with it? What do they do with your data, right? That sort of thing. So to me, I'm not sure if that's already baked into G2 or is that coming soon or whatever, but just sort of curious on how you guys look at it and really people trusting G2. And when somebody says, hey, I got a rating of 4.5 out of 5 on G2, that really means something, right? Like, so just wondering how you guys think about sort of almost that stamp of approval for AI capability and making sure that that technology provider is handling your data in a responsible way.
It's something that we do both bottoms up and top down. So you can say, you know, what we just talked about of like some of that will come to life in the reviews that we generate and really kind of dig in the questions that we're asking there. But then, you know, we have a team of several dozen analysts that cover all of these categories that are constantly working with vendors that are kind of exploring these solutions to really understand, are they delivering on the promise of what they're saying from an AI perspective? Both from a performance lens, but then as you know, what you're talking about, a governance lens as well, because I think both of those are hugely important and a big part of what we're putting together. And it's sort of the difficult part of where we sit from sort of a taxonomy and category perspective of like, AI is moving so fast, and we want to move at the speed of it. You want to make sure that that we're providing trusted information, that these categories are backed up, that we're not just paying lip service to what particular vendors want us to do there. So it's a balance, but we err on the side of you know, moving fast while being informed with both that human and automated led function.
Awesome. Now, you mentioned categories, and earlier in the conversation, you referenced how AI is almost creating brand new categories. When it comes to the world of marketing technology, MarTech, what are you guys seeing?
It's constantly evolving, changing, growing. The example I like to point to, we talked about AEO. I mean, that was not really a term that was on everyone's mind a year and a half ago. Last time I checked, and when we launched the category, I think we had 7 vendors in it, and we're up over 100 now. I mean, it's just been both AEO native solutions, and then others like the SEMrushes of the world that are adding those functionalities in there to their kind of legacy stack. So it's just massively sort of evolving. And what you'll see there is, I mean, AEO is one, AI SDRs are another big one, AI agent builders. I mean, just huge, huge opportunity to build there. But I think what's also equally interesting is reframing legacy categories around, well, we're like, should we be carving out, you know, we've had design solutions forever. Should we be carving out an AI design solution subcategory on there? So you can kind of understand, you know, how something like Midjourney might be different than Photoshop or whatever it may be there. But I think there's sort of a couple different lenses by which you can look through it with that.
Yeah. And I think AI is also resulting in a lot of M&A activity, which in itself may sort of, you know, redefine these solutions, Adobe's acquisition of SEMrush, right? Like that sort of stuff. It's like, so what is Adobe now at this point, right? Like, how do you start thinking about redefining, you know, the traditional, table stake marketing stack, MarTech stack that existed, and, you know, AI is sort of, you know, almost appending that.
Yeah. I mean, two examples I think of recent acquisitions, companies that both MarTech solutions that was what's really interesting. They both started out, I'm thinking of Goldcast and Qualified as the two most recent ones. They both started out as, Goldcast was going to be a great sort of virtual event solution. Qualified kind of started out very similar to Drift or something like that, a chatbot solution. But what's different about those two solutions versus others, they just leaned heavily into AI functionality and really brought great functionality to those two solutions. And Goldcast gets acquired by Cvent and Qualified by Salesforce. And I think that's just a testament to what they were building and doing there. And again, I think what you see review-wise about them on G2 would attest to that. So again, it's not just about, hey, how do we go out and build the next ChatGPT? It's how do we really think about what AI could do to solve for the problem that we're already here working on. And those sorts of solutions are really, as you can see, they're in demand and will continue to be, I think, over the next few years.
Yeah, absolutely. It's gonna be really fun to watch. And I mean, not only, from a point of view, just AI, but also just as a marketer, like what options you have, and not to mention, you know, there's a lot of AI has enabled, you know, almost like a little bit of, you know, incestuous relationships between technologies, where you can suddenly have Canva inside of ChatGPT, or, you know, Zapier inside of Canva, whatever, all these different technologies with MCP and those sort of things. Are you guys seeing, you know, those sort of gray lines as well with the whole MarTech landscape, where these integration technologies are almost like horizontal, and it doesn't need to be one platform, but they could be this sort of integration layer that is taking the best of from all these different platforms?
I think so too. Listen, I'm not the expert on that side of the business, but I will say, you know, going back to my time early on at MailChimp, we sort of outflanked one of our competitors early on by having an open API that developers could build on and build a bunch of functionality around. And I think that the smartest folks now in sort of MarTech are doing the same thing with MCP, like what, like make your solution as portable as possible. Obviously you want to have that, you know, fortification around whatever your app is there, but getting it in the places that folks want to use it in the way they want to use it is never a bad strategy. And so I think that that's just something that's going to become more and more clear as time goes on. And I think like we're very early on in the actual, you know, rollout of that. You've got some very savvy early adopters, but I don't think that we've gotten to the critical mass in that yet.
Yep. Fascinating. Now, you mentioned earlier on when you were talking about Zendesk on feature-based to outcome-based pricing, that's sort of a bold move. But in general, like, I'm just wondering, how are you guys seeing a shift in how buyers, marketers evaluate MarTech, where, you know, is it still feature function comparison and that sort of thing capability? It's really more outcome based, like based on, I don't mean in terms of licensing, but just in terms of tech evaluations.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you're seeing both a shift in sort of the narrative around that of like, we you know, as a vendor, we know that you as a buyer are outcome focused. So we are too, and here's how we get that. But I think that you're seeing a lot of those, you know, campaigns, those products, it's like they're looking at, you know, cross funnel performance. They're looking at sort of how, if I adopt this, how is it going to help me monetize my own customers? And that's just a, not to say that didn't exist before, but I think in some cases you were thinking very kind of narrowly around a few of those. And this is just a different way of looking at that. So I still think we're probably in the early innings of that outcome driven sort of pricing and approach, but it certainly seems to have caught on in certain areas and in a lot of ways puts the buyer, you know, a little bit more in control than with just a total, you know, seat-based solution. And it's like, all right, well, you got a new hire or you got someone new, like price is going up. This kind of creates a, maybe a better kind of trust relationship between buyer and seller at that point.
Yep. I love it. It's almost value-based that, you know, we'll pay for value as opposed to activity. So love that, part. All right, home stretch here. So as now I'm asking you to put both your hats on, both the your G2 analyst hat and the marketing leader hat. And what is your advice for marketing leaders who may be tuning into this episode when it comes to their, you know, AI MarTech strategy, you know, let's say over the next 2 to 3 years? What are three pieces of advice that you would like to impart?
Gosh, I think that you've got to, you know, as a marketing leader, kind of empower your teams to take on that learning, to create that space, to really understand what their operational use cases are. I think as leaders, sometimes we get so focused in the here and now and sort of we've got to deliver on X, Y, and Z. And I think that you've got to give your team the time to hit the gym, so to speak, to make sure that they know how to put these use cases together. I think beyond that, you've got to be thinking about overall productivity in terms of like, where are you really going to make investments in AI that are going to be transformative, so to speak, in terms of hey, our, you know, reimagining what a team might have looked like. And if we put it through a lens of AI, whether it's headcount, whether it's roles, responsibilities, you know, kind of functional alignment there, I think you've got to be open to change there. You've got to be open to understanding that reality is going to look a little bit different than maybe the past has. And then, you know, I think, you know, beyond that, it's thinking through the realization that we don't know. There's so many unknowns out there. Like we can't exactly know. If we think back 5 years ago to what we thought we knew then and what it looks like today, it's just like, you know, make sure you're not assuming too much, that you're staying informed, you're dealing with what that reality is today versus jumping to a conclusion in what is still, to borrow what I said earlier, very early innings of the marketing AI sort of application and use cases, that it's going to evolve. I'd like to, speaking of AEO, you know, specifically, I always like to tell folks, like, doing AEO right now is like doing SEO back in 1999, you know, when like Google was just going out. It's like, again, like it's good. Like that's not me saying don't do it. It's just saying, think about how far we've come. Think about how much that evolved. That's where we are today. Don't get so used to just saying this is how it's going to be moving forward. It's going to continue evolving and changing. That's for sure.
Awesome. Palmer, thank you so much for making the time and really some exceptional insights, both as a marketing leader and from kind of a G2 lens. So appreciate your time and really enjoyed it.
Thanks, Abby.
To all our listeners, you can learn more about G2. If you've been living under a rock and you don't know, you can go check out G2.com. You can follow Palmer and me on LinkedIn. Obviously, would encourage you guys to check out the Marketing AI Pulse community. You can learn more about that at Marketing AI Pulse. Till next time, thank you very much.
Thanks for listening. Big thanks to Spark Novus and the Marketing AI Pulse community. You can join the community at marketingaipulse.com.